Summer. There's just something about it. The blistering sun, the aroma of a barbie, getting stuck to the seat in the car, and of course, cricket.
That's how it's done.
From these tiny seedlings will grow graceful willows, not planted simply to please the eye, but for a specific purpose.
Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin. Trade strong. This is Triple M's Willow Talk.
And coming in with a very nice lineup this morning on Triple M's Willow Talk, Mark Howard with you, and I'm about to introduce a couple of legends of the game. Greg Blewett, 46 tests for his country, 400's a nice big double 100 as well, and very sharp as always. Bluey, great to see you. How are you?
Good morning, Harry. Yeah, very good, thank you.
Test match in your home state, always a big event in Adelaide.
Love the Adelaide Test. I've been to a lot of tests around the world, Howie, and I don't reckon anyone does it as well as Adelaide. It's we've got that unique space out the back of Adelaide Oval, and they fill it with marquees now, and there's live bands, and it's when people ask me about the Adelaide Test, I say, have you ever been to a spring racing carnival day in Melbourne? And if you have, it's a lot like that. It's a lot of people don't watch a hell of a lot of cricket, although they've got big screens out there now, but it's a good fun.
And a man dominating event. The captain of the Fox Sports commentary team, who started in fine form, the guru Adam Gilchrist, joins us on Willow Talk as well. Gilligan, how are you?
Oh, very good, thank you. Harry, Bluey.
Go, Gilly.
See you, mate.
When did you two turkeys first come across each other in the world of cricket?
Before we get to that, I must say, you forgot to mention that in his home debut test match, 100 at the Adelaide Oval, which is something that Bluey normally mentions himself.
I was going to bring that up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We've got plenty of time.
I reckon it was around sort of underage cricket, Bluey, wasn't it, where we first crossed paths down in Launceston at a carnival?
Yeah, it was a chilly couple of weeks down there, I remember. And we came up against New South Wales, and it was like playing against men, really. And Gilchrist was smacking him then as
well. Was he a similarly dashing type as an under 17?
He's never played any differently, Gilly. And I remember playing against New South Wales, and I thought, yeah, I'm a little bit behind these boys. I'm going to have to lift my game. But I reckon that was the first time.
Who was in that tournament too was Justin Langer for WA. And he was one of the big names around because his uncle had played for Australia, Robbie, through the World Series cricket days. And it's like, whoa, gee, if his uncle's played for Australia, we might as well give him 100 now and let him walk off before he's even faced a ball. But tell you what, he was pretty average back then, Jay.
He was a bit scratchy.
Oh, come on. Seriously, no. Lang was in the cricket academy with me here in Adelaide. We had Warney, Damien Martin, and Langer. And Lang was like, we were going, who's this bloke? He's batting like a bastard here. but he was always tough.
Gritty. Couldn't hit it off the square, but he found a way, didn't he? Yeah. They say try and extract every bit of talent out of your body. He did that.
The coach will be sitting in the dressing room right now starting up day three. It's going to be very, very fun. Hey, we've got a lot to get through in the next couple of hours. We're going to do some stories. Apparently one where, Bluey, you may have got waylaid in the Netherlands of all places. We're going to discuss day three and how the Aussies go in the test match. Gilly is going to bring us an exclusive one-on-one with Virat Kohli on Willow Talk, if you don't mind. And also, I'm going to present to you my view of the top five best-looking test cricketers ever to play for Australia because Bluey said, Howie, can we get this topic?
I was about to say, the ex-cricketers here. I know you played a little bit, Howie, but if the ex-test cricketers here, there's one that probably might make that, and I don't reckon it's me, so I assume that he might have been the one that threw that topic up.
After 2 days of the test match, India probably just with their noses in front, bowled out yesterday morning off the first ball of day's play, all out for 250. Australia in reply, 7 for 191. Mitch Stark not out 8, but the standout, Travis Head, 61 not out off 149 balls. We mentioned at the start, Greg Blewett making 100 in front of his home crowd. It'd be nice to see Travis Head go on with it today.
Well, I'm pleased they went with Travis, Howie, because I've been with him the last couple of weeks in the last couple of Shield games, and I think he's actually playing as well as he ever has. I think he's still got room for improvement. That's the exciting part as well. But I think in those last 2 weeks, he just feels like he's in a good place mentally, and I feel like he's batting well. So, and he showed it today. It's a gritty sort of innings. He's normally, his strike rate's normally higher than that, but I think everyone's really struggled to get a hold of the wicket.
Spot on. The wicket is not allowing any real stroke play. It'll be interesting to see today, day three, if it's firmed up and if it loosens up a little bit for the batsman to be a bit more score-friendly. But I totally agree with you, Blue. I'm so happy that they stuck with him after that little introduction, little taste of Test cricket in the UAE in frightfully difficult circumstances over there. Got the duck on debut, but then followed up with a 50 or 72. And all this rebuild that we're talking about of Australian cricket, not just on but off the field as well, but he's part of the future. And I'm glad that they stuck with him and he's repaid them already, just showing his skill under pressure in that situation yesterday.
A tremendous show of confidence by the coach. Obviously, during the week, there was a discussion whether Travis was going to be in the side early in the week, and the coach just came out and said, you don't need to discuss this anymore because Travis is in the side. And I would imagine as a young player, you'd take that and think, wow, that's a real fillip for me, and it gives me some confidence going into the first test of the summer.
And always, I think too, Howie's, you know, at the start of the summer, you always, and the start of your career too, you want some success early to feel like you belong at that level, and Trav's had a taste of that now. He had a good innings over in the UAE, and now yesterday, you know, that score, you know, was very much needed for the team. So I'm hoping that he's feeling at home in Test match cricket because, as you know, Gilly, that's half the battle, is feeling like you belong and then you can play your own game. And, yeah, let's hope he goes on with it today.
You're spot on. You just want to feel accepted. And prove to those around you that you warrant your selection and then start to win games or contribute to wins. Just quickly about his leadership skills, because you are in and around him a lot. We've seen it a lot to the wider Australian public in Big Bash cricket, but in Shield cricket, first class cricket, and 150 for Australia at home doesn't mean you're the next Australian captain.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
Is he a strong leader?
He's improving all the time, Gilly. It's probably fair to say when he was given the leadership mantle in South Australia probably 4 years ago, I'm guessing. He was very young and it was a bold decision. And he was probably a shy leader, but I think he's really grown into it. And now when he speaks in front of the group, he's very good. Tactically, in the Big Bash last year, he was very good. I think he needs to work on that a little bit in Shield cricket, but his overall strength around the group as a leader and a speaker and all that sort of stuff is just getting better and better.
Yeah, big part of the future.
He's going very nicely, Travis Head. Hopefully this morning he can go on with it and continue in a good vein of form. The overall performance by Australia with the bat on day two, Adam Gilchrist, you saw a lot of it in your role as Fox Sports number one boy.
Frustrating, frustrating for all concerned. It's a frustrating wicket. For batsmen, the bowlers are about the only ones. You think of spectators, broadcasters, batsmen. Although as a broadcaster, I found it a really interesting day of Test cricket. 2 days, in fact. It's old-fashioned and you've got to find a way through these hard times. But from the Australian batting point of view, the positives were Marcus Harris on debut. He looked as composed as anyone. Yep. 25 off 40-odd balls, which was a terrific strike rate given you know, the lack of flow of runs. And then Travis Head. So the two most inexperienced players were the ones that didn't panic under the situation, didn't play really, really loose shots. Tim Payne copped a really nice delivery. Usman Khawaja probably got a really good one. But he himself, Khawaja, I think he got sort of 30 off about 120 balls, got bogged down and probably showed a lack of intent to score. But India bowled well. That's been critical of the batting lineup for Australia. But they'll be frustrated that they just got out, the majority of the batsmen got out to pretty loose strokes.
All right, I reckon that's enough serious gear on Willow Talk. I think we've talked our way around the test match. It was a reasonably slow day. Up next, Gilly, Bluey, on tour. The Netherlands, Denmark. Where else did you go on this so-called cricket tour?
UK.
England. Yeah. It was the perfect trifecta.
The Danes. Oh. The Danes have always had a strong 11. We'll hear how the boys went against the might of Denmark. The boys have just been trying to ascertain on this tour where they went to England, reportedly to play cricket, to Denmark and the Netherlands, and it's come out that maybe Denmark rolled you blokes, which is a real blight on the game in this country for mine. This is a disgrace. Denmark, Gilly.
Well, let's go start of the tour. So okay. The sequence was Holland, the UK, and then Denmark. So Holland was an opportunity to promote the game of cricket over there, Australian under-19s. We were playing on coir matting over there, wasn't it? So that's like rolled mud with a coir mat, like the mat at the door, front door if you wipe your feet on. But we went there, terrific start to the tour, and we made sure that – because at that stage, under 19s, you never knew if you're going to get another tour, Bluey, did you? So you made it, you treated it like it was your last.
How lucky were we to get the UK tour? So it was just we were lucky to be on that year, probably.
Yeah, the year after that, they started sending the Australian youngsters to the subcontinent to learn how to play over there. So we thought we'd better cash in on this. But in Holland, I just recall the first night, we had Brian Tabor, a former Australian wicketkeeper, and Steve Bernard, who was Australian team manager for a long time. They were our coach and manager at the time. They took us out, as you do, bit of team bonding first night, went and had a nice meal together. You know, and in those days you just jump on a bus and you get driven somewhere, you're in a foreign country, a lot of us are young and inexperienced about touring life. Get there, wanted to get to know each other, a couple of beverages. We're all 18, all perfectly legal.
Yes.
Maybe a couple too many beverages. But anyway, the bus left, back to the hotel. One, Greg Blewett decided he might have needed just to have a little look around for maybe some later activity in another bar just to test the Heineken, or I don't know, he's shaking his head. But whatever the case, he wasn't on the team bus. But Bluey, you had some sort of trouble getting back to the hotel because of you couldn't speak Dutch or German or any other language that they might throw around over there, and the cab driver couldn't speak English?
No phones either. So this is pre-mobile phones. But you didn't get that right. So what happened was, we're on the way out of the restaurant and I said to someone, I need to take a leak. So just, you know, hold the bus. And then when I came out...
Bus gone.
And it's just disappearing into over the horizon.
Yeah, I'm giving it, good.
Yeah, nice one. First time overseas as well. And I'm like, you know, crapping myself, not knowing, you know, going through passport control. I'm going, what do you do here, you know? Anyway, so we get overseas, go to the toilet, on the way out, bus leaving. And I've gone, oh, yeah, good one, boys. You know, they'll turn around and have a bit of a joke. Didn't come back. And I look around. So I sort of started and I go, no, I better go back to the restaurant. Everyone had packed up, gone. So I'm going, well, what do I do now? So I just started walking the streets of Amsterdam. And it was still light as well, because I reckon that we only got 2 hours of darkness over there.
So I just
started walking, and I knew, didn't know the name of our hotel, I just knew that this toucan on top of our hotel. So I just kept saying, excuse me, I'm from Australia, can you help me out? I'm looking for a hotel with a toucan on it. Which way do I go?
Take me to the toucan.
Anyway, seriously, I'm walking around for 2 hours thinking, I'm gone here, I'm going to have to sleep on the streets. And I come across this couple who had been to the game. What are the chances of someone being at
Minimal.
The game, under 19, game, and they said, oh yeah, come in. And then anyway, they rang around, found the hotel, and you know, walked back in, and the boys were still like, where have you been? I said, walking around the streets for 2 hours, thanks for coming.
I've delved deep into cricket info and I'm struggling to find too many statistics on the Australian under 19s versus Denmark. Surely the Anderson Christian, that would have been the maker, and probably Hans Christian Andersen. Surely the might of Australia didn't go down to Denmark.
Oh, I think we might, but that was the back end. We went to England for
the
6 weeks.
Got the job done. Won
the little mini Ashes over there, led well and truly by Damien Martin, was captain, and the current CEO of Cricket Australia, Kevin Roberts, was in the team as well, and he might not have been putting in his best performance in Denmark, which was at the back end of the tour.
Did he show CEO style potential at that stage,
there was
Kevin?
Nothing in his leadership CV there, I can promise you that. He unfit for play against Denmark, I think, so I don't think he was part of the loss. Yeah. But anyway, he's gone on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, we weren't exactly professional, you wouldn't say, Howie,
young men.
We had a good time.
Plenty to come on the show, including Adam Gilchrist's exclusive one-on-one with Virat Kohli. We're going to name the top five most handsome test cricketers ever to play for Australia. Bluey's already penciled himself into number one. I think there could be a few problems coming his way. Marcus Harris, the young man, made his debut for Australia. Great to see him presented the Test Baggy Green by Mike Hussey. You two gentlemen have both had the pleasure that not many people have in this country of representing and wearing the Baggy Green. Greg Blewett, you made your debut versus England. Couldn't come against a more worthy or hyped opponent, I wouldn't have thought.
No, it was perfect for me, yeah. Playing on my home ground against England, so an Ashes series was... Yeah, just brilliant. And then to, you know, obviously make a few runs was a bit of a bonus as well.
How many runs?
Well, I got 100 on debut, so that was nice. Didn't get many in the second innings.
What was it like when you raised your bat 100 on debut in front of your home crowd? It couldn't be a better moment.
I didn't – yeah, it was great. I didn't want to – I didn't want to carry on too much. I sort of tried to be a little bit humble about it. So I, you know, raised the bat to the boys in the rooms and then had to go to the hill, the boys underneath the scoreboard there. So, yeah, I mean, the great thing for me, Howie, I was just in terrific form. So whenever you get selected, you know, if you're in great form, that's obviously how you want to get it done. But, you know, very nervous. I remember people saying to you, oh, you look so calm, but there's no, you know, hopefully the body language just takes over. But internally, yeah, there's a lot going on. But once I got to, I think, 15, 20, I settled down and just played the game. You against the bowler, and it turned out pretty well.
We hear about you guys that have represented your country and wore that famous cap, and everyone that had any interest in cricket grew up playing in the backyard. What is it like when you finally make that progression out of the backyard and all those coaches and all those experiences? And then did you get a phone call to be told you were going to be playing for Australia, or how did it unfold for you?
Yeah, got a phone call. There was no cap presentations then. I'm not sure about Gilly.
Yeah, it was happening by the time I was picked.
So, yeah, no cap presentation. So, yeah, got the phone call from the chairman of selectors and then...
what was it like?
Yeah, great. I mean, there was a little bit of talk around that I might be selected for the Adelaide Test, but I honestly didn't think that would happen. So when I did get the call, it was like, jeez, this is really happening. And then, you know, I still hadn't met a lot of the guys in the team as well. So, you know, guys like David Boone were in the team and they'd played for years and years. And I'm like, jeez.
Who was the most imposing when you walked into that room and saw that group of cricketers?
Probably Booney, I reckon. Because Booney doesn't say a hell of a lot. He just sort of chunders away and has a fag and has a beer and, you know, goes about his business. But, yeah, probably Booney. But then, and that was the other great thing too, Howie, it was that had some success straight away. So, you know, you felt part of the group pretty much straight away. And you alluded to that as well. So, great times. And they were great. They made me feel welcome. So it was really
just good. Looking at the scorecard, GS Blewett not out, 102 in his very first innings in a team that included Slater, Taylor, Boone, War, Healy, Warne, Fleming, McIntyre. So a couple of leggies in there, and CJ McDermott. For you, Gil, you'd played a fair bit of one day international cricket, I would imagine, for Australia against Pakistan. You made your debut?
Test debut up at the Gabba. And I was just thinking, can you clearly remember walking onto the Adelaide Oval, obviously home crowd, that the roar and...
Yep.
Yeah, so I walked onto the Gabba when Ian Healy had been dropped. And, I clearly remember the boos and the hissing and, you know, the couple of forex
really the fairy
cans
tale,
getting chucked
is
at me. Yeah, it's not the way I remember dreaming about it. But fortunately, I walked out there and you mentioned how I think I'd played the most one-day internationals for your country before without having played a test match across around the world at that point. I think it was 72, which I think a few other players have gone on played more. Finchie certainly has eclipsed that when he debuted in test cricket. But I got out there and Mark Waugh was at the other end, and he's the bloke that I'd pretty much opened in all those one days with. So it was a nice familiar feeling looking up and seeing Junior there.
Did he give you any advice, the great Mark Waugh?
No, not a great deal of advice. In one days he said, just try to get to the fifth over, Gilly, before you start really slogging. But, it was nice. And Pakistan, it was a brilliant game. You were playing, Bluey.
Yeah.
The boys bowled. We fielded first, so I managed to sort of get out and get into the game, took a couple of catches, I think, and feel like you're getting into it, and then went out to bat. Junior was there just cruising along, and we bowled him out, and then we chased a small total, didn't we? 40-odd on the last day and knocked, or 70, and knocked him over.
I can see it here. Mohammad Wasim, I would have thought, was your first test catch. Caught Gilchrist, bowled Fleming, and then when the Aussies got a bat, Slater 169, Blewett 89, leg before we got Mushtaq Ahmed. They always are.
Shocker.
Mark Waugh 100, and then Gilly came in when the attack was flagging, 81. Shane Warne made 86 that day, so he just piled on 575.
But at 81, I tell you, it was the first moment I looked up. I clearly remember looking up the scoreboard and thinking, I'm in the 80s, not that far. Like the first inkling in my mind of debut test 100, Shoaib Akhtar went round the wicket, middle stump ripped out of the ground, walking off going, why did I think that? But, no, it was good fun. But what I do remember, because I went on the 97 Ashes tour, of which Bluey was a part of, and I'd been on standby a few times for Heels when he was injured, but I never got that test match. But I remember on the Ashes tour, just that was the first time I'd really been part of the around a test match. And win, lose or draw, I remember Heels saying, Gilly, after a test match, you've got to have a bit of a blowout. You've got to de-stress. It's a big week. You know, nine days, not just 5 days. There's a four-day preparation. It's at a high level, high intensity for a long time. Win, lose or draw, you got to have a blowout. But I tell you what, when it's a win, it's a big blowout. I realised that at the Gabba. It took me a while to get over that one.
We're meant to be speaking Sheffield Shield, but I've thrown the rundown out because you boys are far too entertaining to be talking about the Sheffield Shield. Adam Gilchrist got one of the great nicknames, but before we get to that, Bluey, what was your nickname in cricket?
Bluey, shall we?
And where did that come from?
Short for Blewett.
It's just what you get on Triple M. Really detailed analysis of the game and the characters. Adam, it's extraordinary here at the Test match. There's so many cricketers of different vintages and involved in all sorts of different broadcasts, and all of them come up to you and either say, g'day Eric or g'day Churchy, which firstly threw me when it happened on the Big Bash. You've explained it to me, but it's one of the great stories of nicknames, yours, because it's a quite obscure one, Guru.
Yeah, from that 97 Ashes tour, just clearly in that team, we had the high profiles of Shane Warne and Steve and Mark Waugh, Glenn McGrath. It certainly, he was truly on the international stage at that point. So going over on that tour, I was 17th man picked. I was reserve keeper to Ian Healy, and again, another name there. But in the pre-games, the warm-up games, there was a game down at Gloucestershire at Bristol, and we were walking around the ground. I was walking around the ground with Steve Waugh and Glenn McGrath. There's a bit more of a festival feel to those sort of tour matches, isn't there, Bluey? Yep. And the crowd are up close and personal with the players. And then kids come running up, and a little boy looked up at Steve Waugh, and he was shaking, and he had the tour guide, you know, the book, the magazine. He's going, Steve Waugh, and he's thumbing through it, going, can you sign here on the little pen pick? And they're, Glenn McGrath, and he flips a couple of pages, go, Glenn McGrath. And then he looked at me, clearly had no idea, and he's flipping through the pages looking for a photo or something. He goes, who are you, Eric Gilchurch? So only two people in the world heard that other than myself and the boy who delivered it. And, of course, that gets taken back to the team and away it went. It's either Eric or Churchy.
Church.
It's one of the great nicknames. I should have asked you this in the break about other good nicknames. Johnny Hastings was on the show last week alongside Gussie Wall and doing a magnificent job, and Brad Haddon. And one of the great nicknames, the Duke, and people are not always aware of that because he's John Wayne Hastings, the middle name. But it's a good – I don't know if any spring to mind with you guys. Dennis Lilly was always famously Fott. We probably can't explain – the full explanation of that. I think that's more a Google job on a Saturday morning. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we are going to name the top five most handsome cricketers to play for Australia in the last 40 years, and Bluey is getting very, very edgy. We'll also have a preview of today's test match and Gilly one-on-one with the superstar Virat Kohli. Brought to you, as always, by our good mates at Irwin Tools. If you demand performance and durability on the job site, then it's just got to be Irwin. They got the vice grip locking pliers, the quick grip clamps, my favourite, record vices and Weldtec circular saw blades. You'll get the job done right time. First time available at Bunnings Warehouse, Irwin. Trade strong. I look at you, Greg Blewett, and I don't think you've ever had a callus on your hand ever. Well, what do you like in the...
I've got golf. I get calluses from golf.
What do you like in the old home handyman department? Have you got some Irwin gear, and what do you use it for?
No, I'm not good, Howie. You're right. You've summed me up pretty well. No. The proudest moment I've had is like I did in my old house hang up all of my paintings and photos and stuff like that. So a little bit of work involved in that, but... got it all level, and so it was superb. But, mate, that's about it. I'm, a bit of a lightweight.
Gil, you any good in the...
Not strong.
Right.
Leave that.
No, not my strong point either.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, I got a whippersnipper once for Christmas and managed in the first 3 minutes to cut the back hose in half. And
probably it's not the proudest moment in your life when they hire a hubby van turns up out the front, is it?
No, and my beautiful wife, her father is a builder, and he's very, very good on the tools. So
well, just get him around.
Yeah, yeah. They look at you, but when you see your father-in-law look at you with just absolute disappointment,
yeah,
and just almost shame in their eyes,
just almost looking down on you. Yeah, going, mate,
it can be a little bit tough. I don't want to get too stuck down in the minutia of the test match, Bluey, but can Australia win this test match?
They can. Yesterday was that was a tough day because I think everyone just assumed, you know, great effort bowling, India out for 250. You know, maybe Australia would might get 350, 400. It didn't pan out that way. So, you know, full credit to India. But, you know, obviously going to have to bowl well in the second innings, no doubt about that. And Virat is due against Australia. So it'd be nice to keep him quiet, but for how long?
Yeah, he is well overdue. The last time these teams met, it was in India, and he got 40-odd for the series. You know,
yeah, I reckon six innings against Australia, tests, yeah. He hasn't got to 20.
So he's long overdue. But it's a challenging wicket to bat on. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, it's a slight advantage to India at the moment, but you know, we'll see where it pans out. But, it's going to be a tough one to get the victory from here.
I was listening to Triple M's Willow Talk debut for the season last week, Gus Wall and Brad Haddon doing a great job, and Johnny Hastings, who launched into a story which we now need to discuss with you, but it was revolving around Johnny Hastings' first test match, was Ricky Ponting's last test match, and apparently a bit of a soiree took place at your house in Western Australia, Gilly, as the Duke told the story.
Adam Gilchrist said, can you just go and get another crate out of my cellar of that stuff that we've been drinking? And I've gone, yep, no worries, and it's a pretty big cellar. It's massive. It's almost the size of half of my house, I reckon. But went in there, tried to get it. The door closed behind me, and I didn't know that it was sort of this sort of fingerprint access sort of thing. So if you don't mind, Gilly, got locked in there, and there was a few tasting glasses over in the corner with a corkscrew. So I thought, what am I going to do here? I've got to try and drink my way out of here. So I didn't know much about red wine. Picked the bottle off the shelf. It turned out to be a pretty expensive bottle of Henschke Hill of Grace.
Drink my way out of it is what the Duke's gone with. What fascinates me, Bluey, that Gilly has got so much money, he's got fingerprint access to his cellar.
I'm building a house right now and they asked me if I wanted one of those. I'm like, that's way out of my budget, but obviously not the church's.
I heavily dispute a lot of what has been discussed there last week on Willow Talk. The big Duke, I mean, I presented him with his baggy greens, so how dare he blaspheme like this across the nation about what I have and don't have in my house. I do have a cellar. I'm very happy with the size of it. I'm comfortable with that.
Is there fingerprint access?
No, certainly not. And it's not a self-closing door behind him. It's a door that usually remains open because we're going down there so often. But
a touch of mayonnaise from the Duke.
Well, a lot of mayonnaise on that. Yes, we went down there. And I'll tell you, he was down there a long time. And I'll elaborate on that in a minute. But he was not held there against his will. He could have walked out whenever he wants. And in fact, talking about the time he was there, the only time he came out was when the taxi came to pick him up at 6:30 a.m. when everyone else had left at about 3 a.m. So, Duke, I look forward to catching up with the Duke and just trying to find out the truth.
Well,
to he's that just story.
Get the wine right.
He's just texted me through. The Duke's listening, and he said, "No, I was wrong. I did exaggerate. It wasn't a fingerprint scan. It was a retina scan. He reckoned to get into the place. An eyeball scanner."
You know what? You blokes are a bunch of Irwin trade tools.
We're about to hear an exclusive, pretty much recorded for Willow Talk with Adam Gilchrist and Virat Kohli. Fox Cricket was slightly involved. Bluey, he's ranked as the number one batsman in Test cricket at the moment, Virat Kohli. Would he be the first batsman you pick in the world or not?
Yep. And over all forms, like his record is crazy. I mean, and not forgetting, he had a bad start to his Test career. So he's, you know, he's been able to get his average, I reckon, was sort of 30s for a fair while, and now it's, you know, way over 50, same as the other forms of cricket. So you know, Steve Smith in Test match cricket when he's up and about is right up there as well. So probably those two in Test match cricket. But over all forms, he's the clear leader for me.
Well, our man, Adam Gilchrist / Michael Parkinson, secured the interview everybody in the country wants. Sit down with Virat Kohli for over 45 minutes. I've seen part of it on Fox. It's quite extraordinary. Here's a little snippet of Gilly, our man, going one-on-one, courtesy of Willow Talk exclusive style with Virat Kohli.
The one thing is that I've always been myself. I've never tried to be someone else because of the opinion. And hence I learned from my own mistakes. I realized my own mistakes myself and just kept, you know, correcting them through the journey. But yeah, massively different from the last two tours, especially the first one. I was so bad. I still
bad remember. Bad in what way? What?
I mean, you know, I didn't have a good understanding of where to draw the line and stuff like that. Okay. So, yeah, those are things that I wouldn't say I regret, but those definitely I look at them as mistakes, but mistakes that were important for me to commit so that I can learn from them. I was never a perfect mold of, you know, a typical old school cricketer. I was always, you know, I always wanted to just find my own way, and I guess those things were a part of their journey.
Our man Gilly is so big he recorded that at the Opera House with a full soundtrack in the background. Hey, mate, in all seriousness, Adam, congratulations. You've come from cricket and you've absolutely taken to the media like a duck to water, and the fact you could sit there with a man like that and listen to what he had to say and draw out all sorts of things about the passing of his father, which you'll hear on Fox Cricket over the weekend, is a great credit to you. But I'm always fascinated behind the scenes. There's 100-plus accredited media here from India trying to get the interview that you got with him. Virat Kohli, how do you go about doing it, mate? And well done, congratulations, it's a great chat.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I rang him up.
Oh, just got rid of the media manager and rang him direct.
Yeah, it was a few months ago where I decided, I clearly knew that everyone would be after him as part of this tour, and understandably so. I totally agree with Bluey. He's the number one player for all forms. And I think maybe alongside AB de Villiers, the first player to almost master all forms. There's Steve Smith clearly in Test cricket and One Day cricket, but T20 cricket is probably not quite as dynamic, yep. But he's still a very handy player. But to really nail it in all three formats, I think he's the one. So
you just rang him?
Yeah, I just rang him up and explained. Said, you know, I've sort of known him for a number of years without necessarily being in constant contact with him, but gave him a call, said, you know, part of Fox, which is, there's a whole new landscape down here and you're going to be highly sought after, so can I get in first and put a request? And he said, yeah, absolutely, no problem. And I think too, part of what, the way I explained to him, I felt that Australian viewers, the Australian audience will have a perception of Virat Kohli, yep, in their mind from previous tours, and we, yep, just heard in that little clip there that I sense he's changed as a person. I'd like to show the Australian viewers who's Virat Kohli now compared to 8 years ago when he first turned up and was dropping the bird on crowds because he couldn't handle a bit of abuse, to 4 years ago where he just scored a mountain of runs, and he's now captain and leading this team. And so I was interested to see if he wanted to be part of that, and he was, and he really opened up about a lot of different things. And the bit about his father passing away, he was in the middle of a first-class game in his first-class season, 2 a.m. passed away, and then you know, had to make the decision whether to go and bat or not. It's intriguing to hear his journey and how that's changed too, and he's now married to a Bollywood star too. So combined across his social media followers, 90 million followers across Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And I said to him in the interview, I said, you know, that's nearly four times our population, but extraordinary amount of expectation on him, but a terrific young man, but leading with great passion and pride, as we've seen in this test match in Adelaide already. He is so into the contest.
$90 million, it just strikes me. I run a humble little podcast called The Howie Games. I don't know if you've heard of it, Bluey, but if we could just slide Virat Kohli in and just get him to tweet it maybe to $90 million, it might work well.
Howie, just ring him.
I will. I'll just get his number from him. I'll give him a call in the break. Coming up next, the segment that Bluey has asked for the last 3 weeks. He wants me to name the top five most handsome cricketers ever to play Test cricket for Australia. Don't look at me like that, Bluey. Research, Gilly, is what I've been doing. Research, because we are doing the top five in my time of watching Test cricket, the best five-looking fellas ever to wear the baggy green, in my opinion.
It's always an interesting discussion point, isn't it, Bluey? You bring it up a bit.
Is it discussed a lot, is it?
It is around you, Greg, because it's a topic you often reflect on.
Oh, is it just?
It is.
Is that right?
It is. Okay. Yeah. I don't know him as well as you, Adam, but obviously it's something that is very close to Greg's heart.
I don't know if Bluey's going to feature in this
list of five.
Well, I think he's backing himself in here.
Well,
but
he did say in the ad break he's short price favourite.
Something about Bluey I do remember that was not so much about whether you're good or not so good looking, but certainly presentation, clothing, the apparel, whatever you're presenting yourself in. I remember going down to the, on that 97 Ashes tour that we mentioned earlier, going down to the bar, you know, end of day's play, you go back to the hotel, you get change, come down, and felt like you were sort of under siege at a fashion parade and they were critiquing your clothes, and Bluey was always there. And I reckon one night I walked in, he just looked me up and down and said, "You wearing that?" It's just an about face back upstairs. I was a humble early starter in the Ashes team there. I didn't have a lot at my disposal by way of clothing.
Now, mate, you've been talking about the top five broadcasters as well. You want to get yourself in that.
I've looked across the broadcasters. I'm pretty comfortable right now. This is the top five Test cricketers in my time to play for Australia. Coming in at number five, a man that bowled very, very, very fast, a very strong man, a powerful man. But for me, it was the blonde hair that gets Brett Lee number five position. I think
disappointed's bigger going to be.
I know, but five. You talked about fashion. We worked with him on Triple M Cricket. This is a man that turns up to radio dressed like he's going out to the opera. Always immaculately attired, has had a role himself, I think, in a menswear shop where he used to sell menswear, but always beautifully put out, always very nice hair, just a good-looking all-round man and appealed to men and women wherever he played.
And a movie star.
Yes, and a movie star.
Yeah.
So Brett Lee is number five.
Okay, binger.
You're right. Yeah. I reckon he'll be shattered.
He'll be shattered.
Yeah, he'll be most disappointed.
He'll be number filthy on you.
Now, number four. Oh, I have to put a prerequisite. If Chris Green from the Sydney Thunder ever plays Test cricket, he's going straight to number one on this list. But he hasn't as yet because he looks like Ronaldo. Number four. Now, before I go with this, you've got to judge looks in the generation they came from. And this man played in the early 80s when sort of moustaches were cool. And he was a sort of short and squat fella. But when he pulled on the baggy green, I just think it made him shine. I think it brought out the colour of his eyes and his little cheeky moustache. I'm going at number four with Alan Robert Border.
Oh.
Because I just think he's a good-looking man in the baggy green cap.
Goodness. Yeah, I know what you mean.
He had that little Sergeant Major moustache, put his hands on the hips like he was doing a little dance. He did it for me, AB.
Now, you're going that Brett Lee will be filthy. Yeah. AB will be doing cartwheels right now because if he ever thought he was in the top five best-looking dudes in Aussie cricket, he'll be popping the corks now.
Him and his character from that era, he'll be disappointed to be included in that. He was captain of the nerds, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was never in the Julios.
Number three in the best-looking cricketers ever to play for Australia. I didn't have this man in, and I'll be honest, I was running this list past Mrs. Howard, my beautiful wife, and I was disappointed how vehement she was that this man had to be included because she went on for a good 15 minutes about getting lost in the eyes of Pat Cummins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, okay, I've heard enough. And then she said, yeah, but he's got nice skin and look at his hair. You've got to include him. She got a little bit too excited for my life.
Oh, yeah, with good reason too. He's got the skin and the hair and he bowls at 150 and he actually bats beautifully, beautiful technique. Everything about him is beautiful and he pulls off runouts like he has in this test match.
He's a great bloke.
Exactly.
And my 17-year-old daughter So when I was around the Aussie cricket team, my daughter would I say, is Pat Cummins going to be
there? There you go. And I had the chance to interview him yesterday on Fox Cricket about his run out, and I'll be honest, I just got lost in his eyes. They were just like deep pools that you could dive into. Good looking man. I think we might take a quick break, and then we're coming with the top two. Best looking cricketers ever to play for Australia.
You nervous,
Bluey hasn't had a run yet, and Alan Border has. What about that? We are halfway through naming the top five best-looking test cricketers ever played to Australia. In my opinion, if you missed it, you missed Brett Lee at five, a slightly controversial man they used to call Pugsley, I believe, Alan Border at four, who's texted in saying, this is better than winning the 1989 Ashes and the World Cup. Paddy Cummins came in at three due to Mrs. Howard at home saying, if you leave him out of the top five, I am leaving you, full stop. So this is where we come to the nuts and bolts, Bluey and Gilly. There's two spots left on the list. Just, Gilly, describe Bluey's demeanour during the ad break. He's a cat on a hot tin roof.
Prancing around.
Yes, he was.
Spruiking.
All right. Coming in at number two on the best-looking cricketers ever to play for Australia in Test cricket is Greg Bluey.
Is that a victory or a loss, Bluey? Tell us.
I didn't want to go at one.
Because the worst medal to win at the Olympics is a silver, isn't it? That's what they say.
It's fake joy here from Bluey at the moment. I think it is. The thing I admired about Bluey, I always love when a batsman gets 100 and takes the helmet off. But this is a man, every milestone, like when he would score 20, he'd ping up the 20, look at the scoreboard and rip the helmet off and just gave the viewers of Australia a look. Then at 50, then at 60, and then when the 100, it would come off. But as soon as he got the helmet off, before the cameras could really focus, it was a quick hair adjustment just to get everything right.
I want to tell a very, very quick story, which is very embarrassing. So I was playing in Sri Lanka. I'd washed my hair that morning, right? And I've got – my hair is as straight as a die. And then if I don't put any product in, it's just a fluff ball. Anyway, so I'm cramping in Sri Lanka, very hot and humid day. I'm cramping and our physio comes out and goes, I'm wearing my baggy green. And he says, well, mate, you're just going to have to release the heat out of your head. So you just have to bat without your baggy green. Anyway, so, you know, my hair was just sopping wet. Anyway, in 5 seconds, it dried out. And I just had this biggest fluff ball. And I'm batting in test match cricket. I got about 50 messages from my mates at home going, what are you doing? You're looking like an absolute goose.
Sort of like those young immature monkeys that have that little, you know, the big beady eyes. Yeah. And then that's
that
little
just the big fluff
spiky
ball.
Fluff
See, that's
ball
the thing. Do you think David Boone would have been worried about that?
Nah.
No. No. But you, Greg Blewett, who have come in second on the list, which leaves to the number one in my time of watching test cricket, best looking player ever. To win the baggy green. And it goes to...
Should I be nervous?
I reckon you're pretty safe,
Gilligan. Right, okay, thanks, mate.
Darren Lehman?
No, didn't get a run. I appreciated a couple of texts you sent through as well. Gilly, you might have sent through Joe Angel, but I'm not, going with that.
Big Joe, he does have a twin brother. I'll wait and see if he's actually might still
the
be
number
in the
one,
running, his
the best looking test cricketer ever played for Australia, in my humble opinion, is the man that is just that smooth. He has got the most delightful skin. Women, men, they buckle at the knee when he walks into
a
room.
Twin brother.
I had dinner with him for the first time in the lead up to Fox Cricket, and I was just lost in this man. He is a beautiful man. His name is Brendan Julian.
Yes.
And
it's hard to
go against this,
Can't
I think.
Dispute that.
No. Beautiful hair too.
Beautiful hair, beautiful eyes, beautiful skin. And I'm now going to bring you exclusively on Triple M Willow Talk, just as we presented him the award, a one-on-one with the best-looking man ever to play test cricket for Australia, Brendan Julian.
Brendan Julian, you've done a lot in your career, but obviously an award like this, the best-looking cricketer I've ever seen represent Australia, it's a big day.
Well, it's a bit of a letdown too, Howie, because, you know, I just would have thought wickets, runs, doing something about cricket, but looks, really? I mean, well, I suppose I'm honoured just to be above Bluey.
Well, the skin that gets me, you know, you've got an amazing rig, you got wonderful hair, but the tone
Stop
of your
it.
Skin, no, the tone, how do you, let us know, how do you do it?
Well, you know, it's been hard work. I've worked a lot on it. I've used a lot of moisturiser, but I'm 25% Tongan,
right,
so, you know. I suppose I'm, you know, I might be the only Tongan Australian Kiwi cricketer going around.
That's won the best looking award ever to play for Australia. Obviously, Greg is disappointed because it was his idea. He thought he'd win the award. What do you think got you the gong over Bluey?
Well, I've got a better hairstyle. I mean, I think his haircut's probably one of the worst. He's got a very thin neck and he's got a small head. So, I mean, you put all that together with a bad haircut, it's never going to win it in my books anyway.
Hey, congratulations. It's a great honour for you, your family and everyone involved in your career.
Oh, look, it's probably one of the greatest awards I've ever got. It's probably one thing that I'll always look back on my career and go, yep, I played cricket for Australia. But I think that award in my career, and I was 12th man a lot, just sort of sets the tone and probably the pinnacle.
I love you.
Thanks, mate.
You see, come on. I love you. You can stick your Virat Kohli exclusive, Gilly. I think that's your top draw.
That is quality. Good stuff.
Imagine if he had decent teeth.
Small head.
Small head. Wow. Pencil neck. Didn't stop.
That is the pretty much the conclusion of Willow Talk. Gilly has done a nice job. Bluey's on the phone to his counsellor because he's really going to take some lifting from here. Next week on the show, you'll be back, Gilly. I'll be back. And Ishigua will be back.
Indeed.
And we are going to set you a top five, Gilly. We're going to discuss it during the week.
Yep.
And you're going to bring something to the table. Greg, congratulations on second place.
Thank you. Happy with that.
Nice work. Well done by you, Gilly. And good luck
to
the Aussies today against India. This is and has been Triple M's Willow Talk.
That's Stumps on Triple M's Willow Talk.
Yes, they've done well.
Want a head start on the show for next week? Catch at 10 a.m. Saturdays on Triple M. Need the edge? Has to be Irwin. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Irwin, trade strong.